to get up and preach is, to me, a fearful thing, not because I'm scared of you all, but because if I'm going to stand up here and say I've got something from the Lord, I better have something from the Lord. Otherwise, I feel like the Lord will hold me accountable if I'm up here out of line. So I do desire your prayers. If I had to put a title on my message today here this morning, it would be, We Are Valued. Today is Mother's Day, and it's been mentioned. And I kind of remember growing up, my father was a loving, kind, caring man. So what I'm about to say is not intended to portray him otherwise, but he's a dad. My mother was my mother. If me and my father were working outside on something out in the barn and I cut my finger and I said, "Hey, Dad, I cut my finger," he was liable to say something along those lines. "Well, I think I got some duct tape in the toolbox." And pretty much expect me to go handle it and come back when I got it duct taped or whatever I could find. Whereas if I said something like that to my mother, "Oh, honey, come here. Let's take a look at it. Let me get that washed up for you. Let me get you a bandage." And was it that my dad didn't care for me? No. But there is something special about the way a mother looks at her children, looks at a child. And so I'd like to start off reading in Luke chapter 12. Starting in verse 7, it says, "I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are more value than sparrows." Now, as I consider our world today, you know, there is, I think, a large decrease in the true fear of God in mankind. And it seems like the more our world goes, the more they forget about it. And Jesus is the one speaking here. And he's like, you need to not fear man. And I actually kind of chuckle. Our world today seems to be so caught up into whether you fear this man, fear that man. You got to please this person, not please that person. And I think, well, folks, if you just look to God, one, he would start working with us. We'd start getting along better and we wouldn't have all these offenses. But it says here, it starts off, this passage to me starts off kind of scary. Don't fear somebody who can just kill your body. Fear God. Because he can put your soul in hell. And I'm a person, I like reading the Bible, but I don't necessarily like reading what I call the dark parts. I like the happy stories. And, you know, that can seem kind of scary. Well, you know, you've got to be fearful of the Lord, scared of the Lord, if you will, is almost how it comes across, because he can put your soul in hell. But then it kind of changes.
Thank the Lord.
And it says, consider sparrows. Aren't 5 of these little birds sold for, I'm going to say, $2? 2 farthings, you know, $2 down in the market, and not one of them is forgotten before God?
Thank the Lord.
And, you know, that you get a 2-for-1 special or however you want to view it, cheap little things. I don't know much about sparrows. I know they seem to be everywhere. Some people don't like them. I know in Louisiana they have a similar bird called a starling that people just, they don't like having them around. But they sing really pretty. But they're such a little nuisance bird. They don't like them. But those birds, Jesus said, my father's looking at those cheap little birds. And not a one of them has issues that my God doesn't know about it. And if you think about that, think about our world today, all that's going on in the world today. Has anybody looked at the news on their phone or on a computer recently, or if you still get a newspaper, looked at that? Isn't there a lot of noise in the world? Troubles, wars, earthquakes, volcanoes. I was reading the other day, a couple of volcanoes are erupting again in different places. Billions of people on this planet storms happening in different places. One of my nephews out in Guam, and one of the, I think the storm had 185 mile an hour winds when it hit the islands out there. God's looking at all that, but in the midst of all of that, the great God of heaven, if there was a bird that fell out of a tree over here, would take notice. The great God of heaven, one of my little birds fell. And then Jesus goes on and says something to me that's even more astonishing. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, as I kind of pondered on that, not just they're counted, like there's a total count, we know them. Not an estimate, not that's roughly, I have no idea how many hairs are in you, 10,000, whatever. They are numbered. When I got to looking into the words, it implies individually numbered. Like each hair is specifically noted. This is number one. That's number two. This is number three. I'm getting on up in age. Sometimes when I comb my hair in the morning, I have a few less than I had before. Have you ever thought, I wonder what numbers those are? And the way I read this, with Jesus saying it, is that somewhere in heaven, there's, I'm going to say, a little angel, number 234, fell out. So we got however many left. Oh, nope, 237 fell out too. And you know, it's also probably, we growing a new one over there. What number are we going to put on that one? Such detail that God wants to look at us. Such awareness. I can tell you sometimes I've finished getting ready in the morning, look down in the sink, like, huh, that's more than I thought I'd lost this morning. Such care.
Yes.
You know, this started off talking about God as a fearful God. He is a God to be feared. We need to hold him in the proper place. But the passage turns almost, it seems like 180, and says, but let me tell you about this fearful God. The one who can put your soul in hell. He loves you. He values you. He's keeping track of things on you you would never think to keep track of. How many hairs are on my head? Wow. My whole life, I mean, I've read the verses, but I still never thought, well, I'm going to sit down and try to count them. Partly because I can only see the front. I'd have to do mirrors and... But the great God of heaven says, I'm that concerned about you as a person. I'm going to look at every hair and make sure that they're right. Now, Diane and I had some trouble around our house here a while back with some mice. And a stray cat happened to show up about that time. So we had the logical idea, well, if we put not a lot of food, but a little bit of food out to keep the stray cat around, and there's mice showing up as well, we should end up with less mice. And hopefully a cat that hangs around because he's getting fed enough and eating mice. So that was working out somewhat. Well, next thing we know, it was an old tomcat. Next thing you know, we had a little female cat showed up, and before long we had kittens. That wasn't quite in our plan. But you know, kittens are cute. So we watched the kittens grow. We watched them, you know, from the time that they were born till they started opening their eyes. We watched her nurse them. I tried to help her find a clean, dry place to keep them. And next thing you know, the kittens are up. We go out on the back porch. They're running around our feet, maybe climbing up my pants leg, wanting attention. That went on for a little while. And sometimes the mother would take them out, but normally, come mealtime, they would all be back at the house. And then one day they didn't show up at mealtime. Day passes. No kittens. No mama cat. Another day passes, starting to get concerned. Well, unfortunately, we found that the mother cat had failed to properly cross the road. So now we are starting to get worried about those little kittens because they were pretty young still. We're like, okay, those kittens are young. Well, one morning we went out there and one of the cats had showed up. So we took it, we put it in the house to keep it safe. And I think later on that afternoon, another kitten showed up. We got it in the house, but we're still curious, where were those last two kittens? I think it was the next morning we got up and the third kitten had showed up, but it wouldn't come to us. It would come close, but it'd turn it, it would go back. And we looked up and saw the fourth kitten dragging its back feet down the driveway, trying to get to the house, injured. It looked like neither of the back legs was operable. My human brain was starting to think, broken back. You know, the kitten had, we're assuming, possibly had been following the mother and got hit when it was going across the road. So, you know, my heart went out to the little creature, but mothers versus fathers again. I'm wondering, how bad is the kitten hurt? We took it to a vet. I'm wanting to get it, you know, assessed. Is this, which decision do we make regarding this kitten? And we did get the kitten treated. They said it's just the back leg on one side is broke. The other leg's not actually injured. It's probably just in pain. And I have to admit, as we were sitting there making that decision, I looked over at Diane, and that helped, dare I say, increase the dollar amount that I was willing to pay for that kitten. Because she was looking like she really, really wanted that kitten cared for. But I got to thinking about that. You know, there's something about compassion and that protective spirit in mankind that reflects the heart of God. And I think there in Matthew 23 and 37, Jesus, he's looking over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. The Lord here, he's comparing himself to a mother hen trying to gather frightened little chicks under his arms. I know we had a little banny chicken growing up that she was one of the broodiest little chickens we had in the pen. And Dad went out one time and he had bought, I want to say it's close to 30 little chicks from a hatchery. And he decided he was going to slip those little chickens in under that little banny chicken. So he got the little box of chicks and he slipped out at night and he starts carefully poking these little chickens under this little, and she was a tiny little hen, this little hen's wings. She started clucking and making noises. And we finally got them all in there. Dad said, well, I'm curious. So he turned the light on in the barn. And that little chicken had her wings just as fluffed out as she could get them. Just, and little heads poking out everywhere. Chickens just would hardly fit underneath her. It was fun, literally, watching her. Because as those little chicks, as far as they knew, that was mama. And that little hen was mama. She'd get out in that pen and a hawk or something would fly overhead and she'd flip them wings out and make a funny clucking noise and you'd have a pile of little chickens try to get up under her. But as I was thinking about this, the Lord, he's worthy to be feared. And he has authority over eternity. But he's such a compassionate, loving God. You know, he desires to gather, to protect, to save us, to redeem us. You know, as I mentioned earlier, as I looked at that kitten, I'm a farm boy. My dad, we had pets, but there was a limit to what Dad was going to spend on pets. And so in my farm boy mind, I'm starting to run calculations. But you know, with God, he doesn't put a limit. When he sat down and first started considering creating us before I was born, before anybody in this building was born, before Adam and Eve stood in the garden. God had set a price that he was willing to pay. Revelations 13:18 talks about the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He had sat there and he said, I'm going to make something and I'm going to care for it so much that I'm going to be willing to pay quite a price for it. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 through 20 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Before we were formed, Christ has said, I'm going to value these. I'm going to consider it well worth my time and my effort. I think about even before the first failure, I've marveled at the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve apparently didn't really know good and bad. They had the Word of God. They understood what they'd been told to do, but the actual concept of that's bad and it's good. And yet the tree that God said don't eat of, when I look at it, is set up to where if they do eat of it, it's going to help give them knowledge that can then be used to bring them back home. Because they'll understand, while they will have disobeyed, they will understand now good and evil.
Yes.
I can start adding some accountability to guide and direct them to bring them home. You know, before that first failure, mercy was prepared. God already knew about the betrayal that would happen to his son. You know, imagine the disciples as they realize that one of their own betrayed Christ. The shock, the how could they? But it wasn't a surprise to Christ. It was something that he knew. This is part of what's going to be covered by the price I'm going to pay. The scourging, the nails, the cross, all of that, a known price. And yet God created mankind anyway.
Yes.
And even more telling to me, not to take away from God at all, but just Jesus in John 10, 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus willingly said, I will let my life go. No man's going to take it from me. We look at it as his life was taken from him by the judgment, by the wrong, but Jesus made a comment. Well, it was the Pilate. You couldn't do anything to me unless my Father allowed it.
Yes, thank the Lord.
This is a gift being given.
Yes.
You feel like you're condemning me, but you don't realize the gift I'm giving you by being able, the price that I'm willing to pay. Jesus valued us enough that he said, I'm willing to take your place. I want to. You know, we think of the cross and you know the soldiers trying to get him to carry it, almost like maybe forcing him. But it wasn't really forced. Now, he didn't have the strength. He'd been beat for us, scourged for us. But it wasn't something, if he could have had the physical strength, I think he'd have been happy to carry it. Cross wasn't an accident. Our redemption wasn't an afterthought. This was love looking from the very beginning and saying, I am going to make a world where I want people to know how much I love them. how much I value them, how much I care for them. John 3:16, don't we all remember how that one starts off? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you are bought with a price. Now, these are things that the Lord had said, I value this. And I'm going to put the value. I think of auctions. We go to auctions sometimes and you know, you have to be careful at an auction. Because you can get excited, you can get carried away, if you will. You can say, you know, I really want that. Sometimes people do go to those auctions and they approach it with the mindset of that particular item, I'm willing to pay whatever it takes. Even if nobody else in the room thinks it's worth that. But to me, I want it. And because I want it, I'm going to pay more than anybody else is willing to. Those people will get the item they want. When I look at what Christ did there on the cross, I'm sure Satan looked around and said, the blood debt, you owe it for sin. These people owe it. Jesus says, if a perfect man sheds his blood, that should cover it, right? Because there's zero debt by that person. I'm going to go so high with my cost that you can't come back and say that there's any doubt that it was paid for. We're going to take zero debt blood and apply it to all of this and zero the debt out for them too. You know, the devil looks around and he wants to convince us we're worthless. Yes. He wants to convince us we're not any good. Sunday school, talking about the man from Gadarenes with the devils in him, legion. He wanted to follow Jesus. I've sometimes thought about him. Imagine having to go back into the town where you grew up and people knew you as the naked crazy guy running around the cemetery. Not possibly the easiest town to go back into. Folks looking at you, when's he going to slip again? He's had maybe good days before. Now, I wonder how long this is going to last. And yet the Lord said, I didn't touch you so you could follow me. I touched you because I have a work for you to do. I want you to live here around these folks that may discount you. Because as you continue to live a sane, steady life for me, the people will start seeing the value of what you've got.
Yes, thank the Lord.
And it'll start attracting people. Because, you know, kind of mentioned a little bit in Sunday school too. I actually got good out of Sunday school. You know, our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's not that you could say we have a righteousness, but it's not anything compared to what the good Lord has. And yet God says, I value you. I want you. You're not forgotten. You may feel forgotten. I've thought about that, the man with the devil. Jesus telling him, I don't want you following me. That could almost seem like rejection. But Lord, you saved me. I want to follow you. I know, child. I know you do. But I value you for what you can do here. I value you here. Somebody who had been so wild and all, apparently they had tried chaining him up. He could break the chains. Now sitting in his closed mind. You know, Jesus didn't die for sparrows. He died for souls. And as I look around us today, you know, every hurt we've ever had, he's felt. every fear, all our hidden burdens, the things Brother Marty said once, you know, about the mind is the biggest battleground for the devil. He likes to get in there with these dark, gloomy thoughts. But God's there too. God's told us before, when you're facing these things and you're feeling the gloom and you're feeling, think on these other things. Think on things that are good. Think on me. Remember what I've done for you. Remember how far I brought you from.
Amen.
I love the fact that, you know, he says, we are of more value than many sparrows. But don't forget, those cheap little sparrows are watched over by God. And he loves them all. He wants them to do well. And as far as I know, sparrows really don't have a soul. You can't say that, you know, the Lord put a bunch of souls in the little birds. You know, I've never read that anywhere. But the great God of heaven says, I made it. I created it. And I gave it a life to live here. And because of that, I want it to be taken care of.
Yes.
And when I look out over his great creation, Diane and I have taken trips out to Yellowstone and stand there and just looking at the marvelous things, the mud geysers, the heat vents, the thermal springs, the beautiful mountains. There was one, I think it's called Mystic Geyser or Mystic Springs. It's all different colors, like bright oranges, blues, yellows. Beautiful. And you know, the Bible says if we look around, we'll see his handiwork and how it speaks of him. And when I think about the care he put into it to make it beautiful, that's not a case of an artist, if you will, that's just painting a painting and hoping to sell it for a few bucks but doesn't really care about it. No, this was created by a God that says, I've got a plan.
Yes.
And in my plan, I want people to know how much I love them. And I want them to know how much I value and care for them. And that is what our Lord is for us today, you know. He picks us up broken, worthless.
Yes.
And he says, but let me show you how much I value you.
Amen.
Don't take your value from your own thoughts. Don't take your values from those around you. Look to the Lord. Let him show you how much he cares for y'all. Y'all pray for me.